Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you for this time that you let us speak your words. Father, we ask that you would guide our words and guide our thoughts, Lord, and open us up to new ideas and to new things, Lord, that you have for us. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to start by singing this song to you. So much is going on all around the world right now, and especially in Alaska. And I don't know about Lower 48s because I don't live down there, but especially in Alaska. The time we have is precious. We have no time to waste by looking over shoulders to see who'll take our place. We need to have a vision and not a sense of lack. We'll only make decisions. We'll never make decisions if we keep on looking back. For God looks for a people, the faithful and the strong, to speak to situations, to cause things to be born. Captors of a vision, singers of a song, who only live to see his kingdom come. The fields are ripe to harvest. The laborers are few. The cries come to the leaders. What now will we do? Will we sit in introspection until the coming day? Or will we rise like young men, and will we lead the way? For God looks for a people, the faithful and the strong, to speak to situations, to cause things to be born. Captors of a vision, singers of a song, who only live to see his kingdom come. So will you be that people, or will God pass you by? Is there not one among you that would even dare to try? Or will his zeal consume us, and will our lives be done by seeing kingdoms overthrown in the name of God's own Son? God looks for a people, the faithful and the strong, to speak to situations, to cause things to be born. Captors of a vision, singers of a song, who only live to see his kingdom come. When I first did this word, started doing it, I went back and I listened to it, because a lot of times you're up here doing it and you say stuff that's not on your lip paper. And so you want to know what God is speaking. You want to know what God is speaking also through you. Well, the name of my workshop is Gaining Wise Counsel. And since the first time I started this workshop, God has increased and filled me with such an awareness of who he is. It is just, it's blowing me out the water. I don't think the way I used to think. I don't react the way I used to act. I don't let things pull me down like I used to let it pull me down. And it's almost a mystery to myself, if you can understand what I'm saying. It's just like I'm living in this shell, looking at it saying, is this really me? Is this really me? And it's because he's teaching me how to take wise counsel. And know that it is not rebuke, but it is instruction. It is for building. It's for restoring. It is not for tearing down. And we, as a people, have looked at it in that way for so long that we have missed all the nuggets God had for us because we were so busy trying to defend ourselves, which we didn't have to. Because when God gives wise counsel to you, it's because he knows you're ready for the next step. That's why he gives it to you. He knows you're ready for something more, for something more richer, more higher, more deeper than you ever had before. But we've looked at it the opposite way, as if they're coming against us, or coming against the way we feel, or coming against what we think we should do. No, that's not it. So he's turning a page for all of us, and he's teaching us that wise counsel is food unto your flesh. It makes your flesh eat things that is good for it. You know, you can have a banquet table that is full of vegetables and meat, and then on this side could be all the junk food you like. Everything you like, the ice cream, the cookies, the potato chips, the popcorn, or whatever you like. And you come up to this table, and you know what's good for you. But why is it that we are partake of the junk before we would take of the goodness? God is turning the page around, and he said, be partakers of that nourish you. Not that just going to make you fat, but that is going to nourish you. And he's turning the page for us in the spirit. And so I had an incident just happen, and me and God was having a struggle the other night because he told me I had to share it. And I was saying, no, they don't need to know. They don't know nothing about that. I don't want to share it. And he was saying, yes, because it's part of your new. And I said, no, it could be part of my new, but they still don't need to know. I can just share this, and that would be good enough. And he said, no. Who has the last word? And when God tells you something like that, you know you better get in line with what he's saying. So what happened is, I still can't make you believe he's making me tell this. So what happened is, the Lord spoke to me, and he told me to write some information down for my church. Because the churches all over the world know of the fivefold ministry, but they don't know the fivefold ministry. They have read it, but they are not knowledge of it. And they have clunked it all together sometime into one thing, and it is five giftings that God gave to the church. And so I had this burden in me to write something about it, which I did. And so in writing something about it, I was on the internet, and I was typing, and I saw this lady had this insert on the internet about how many pastors has been laid down in ministries and how many deacons. And anyway, it was really good information. I thought, oh, I'll put that on there. And not thinking, because I put something to Cindy Jacobs on there, and I made sure I wrote her name at the bottom. This is a statement from Cindy Jacobs. But this two page, I honestly forgot. To be honest, I didn't even think to give the lady credit for it. I wasn't trying to take credit for it, but I didn't even think of it. So our apostles came to our church to set in a couple new elders in our church, and I kept feeling like, let them read it. Let them read it. But let them read it, and you stay open. You stay open. So I let them read it, and they read the book. They said, like, this is an amazing book written. But where did you get this information? And I said, oh, I got it off the internet and blah, blah, blah. And I went to tell them. They said, you don't have a footnote. You have to have a footnote, Evelyn, or it can cost you. Now, one or two things could have happened. I could have got so mad that says, I'm never writing another thing anymore. I told you I'm not a writer. Why are you making me write this? No. That's Or I could take it as wise counsel unto me. Now, why would God tell me to let them read it if he did not want me to receive? Because this one of our apostles has wrote many books. If he didn't want him to impart in me the structural, how you're supposed to go about doing this. So it was the strangest thing. I found nothing in me that was ashamed, that was mad, that was bitter, that any of that. And I'm saying the reason why it was surprising to me, because years ago, if somebody had did that to me, I would have said, well, I ain't writing nothing else. That's it. I didn't want to do it in the first place. You made me do it, and that's the end of it. And I was overjoyed at the maturity that God let me see in me. And so I was sitting up there thinking, and he said, but Evelyn, this is good. Don't not give this to your people. Just restructure it. You know, write it different. And so it's your writing, not anybody else's stuff added to it. And so with that, I thought, okay, that's wise counsel to me. That's God telling me, Nancy, so you're going to be writing books, and this one is writing books, and that one is writing books. Well, I know nothing about writing books. I honestly don't, because I've never written a book. That was wise counsel. Now, we can wear our heart on our shoulders where we can't learn and grow, or we can start saying, thank you, God, for loving me so much that you cared enough to have somebody come back. He took it to his publisher and everything, and come back and share with me this little tidbit, just this little tidbit. And so it took it from just people we know in the Bible that does wise counselor to right now today, where you are today. Because there's going to be things that God is going to inquire you to do, and you're going to need to get out of yourself to ask somebody. But the thing God is trying to teach us is when you ask them, don't wear your heart on your shoulder. Know that it is something, is because his love for you and his passion for you, that he would not want you to do anything to make you fall or to make you ashamed. He said, I would never make you ashamed. And he proved it. So I'll never do it. And so I said, okay. And that wasn't too bad. And so So I thought I'd share that with you, because I don't know where you are today, but if you're in any place, even something in your past that you thought was yours or God gave you, and somebody stepped on it by telling you, you know, you could have made this better, or you could have went this direction. You know, I see something that's, go back if that's a thing that's been in you and offer that feeling up to God and say, God, I now accept the wise counsel that you allow to come my way because of your passion and your love for me. Does that make sense? Okay, so one person in the Bible that talks about wise counsel is Elisha and Elijah. Now everyone knows the story of Elisha and Elijah, right? They walk together in this time in their life. And one asked the other, what did he want? And he told him, if he could have anything, he said, I would like a double portion of your anointing. And he said to him, okay, if you see me when I am taken away, my mantle will fall on you and you can get a double portion. He actually told him, you asked a hard thing. That's what he told him. He said, you've asked a hard thing. And the reason why he said that, the Lord started telling me, he said, because that's exactly what God is asking us today. He's saying, what do you want? What do you want? Be careful what you ask God for. Because when God starts giving it to you, it can be a hard thing for you, because you're going to have to walk out something. You're going to have to give up something for that gift or thing that you're asking God for. And you got to be ready for it. Because God is not going to put you in an area that he does not prepare you for. And in that preparation comes a lot of counseling, wise counseling that has to be done. And often it's not going to come by the person you think is so spiritual. It'll come by the very person that you probably think that barely is skating by on their skates. And you have, or a person that you've had around you all the time and you say, oh, that's just Debbie. And you didn't listen to the counsel that came from her. That's the same thing about Elisha and Elijah. If he had not listened to the counsel that he got, then he would have not been able to grow into the stature that he grew into when God gave him, when Elisha and Elijah was walking together, and when he was taken away in the whirlwind and the double portion fell on him. We read about those things and we think, wow, he got a double portion. But what did it cost him? What did it cost him? What is it going to cost us? Our lives, our thoughts. That's what it's going to cost us. Because God cannot take us into the next level in us. We have to be in him in order for it to go into the next level. And so as I went to a conference with here lately, and Chuck Pierce and Dutch Sheets and Dutch Sheets' brother, they were all there in Alaska. And they came up there and they were so different than I've ever seen them before. They were like people friendly, if you know what I mean. I mean, they've always been friendly, but not people friendly. You know, they always have people with them, and when they leave, they just escort them. They, you know, kind of like. And so Dutch came down, not Dutch, but Chuck Pierce walked down off the stage, and I went over to say something to him. And when I walked up to him, this guy that was with him, he said, no, Chuck, we got to go because you're going to miss. And he turned around and he said, stop. I didn't even know he knew my name. Evelyn needs to talk to me. I was blown away because I didn't even know the man knew my name, to be honest. And so I stood there. For a minute, I forgot what I was going to say to him. I was so shocked that he said that. I just went. And so he's like, what do you need to talk to me about? And so we got to talking about the fivefold ministry again. And he said, let me tell you something, little one. You are right in line with what the anointing is bursting forth in the church all over the United States. Don't let anybody steal the nuggets that God gives you for this. He said, as a matter of fact, I just wrote a book and I'm going to make sure you get an autograph one from it. And I'm sitting up there looking at him saying, okay. He's talking to me, you know. And I'm standing there, and he's just a man, I know that. But the anointing that this man moves in was just amazing, that he was standing there, took the time out to talk to me. And my other sister, Regina, was with me. And so she was sitting on one end of the road, and I was on the other. And so he walked up to her because he thought she was me because we looked kind of alike. And he was like, Evelyn? And she goes, oh, no, I'm her sister. And he said, oh, okay. He remembered. This was almost toward the end of the conference. And he's like, I have a book for her. She said, okay. He said, will you make sure she gets it? And she's like, yeah. And he said, wait just a minute. I want to autograph it. And so he signed the book and gave it to her to give to me. When I got the book, it's a book on the fivefold ministry and how God is birthing it into the church again and doing it. Because how many of our churches have teachers? How many of our churches have evangelists? And how many of our churches have set them in? Set them in, laid hands on them, and said, I sanction you as an evangelist. I sanction you as a teacher. Because they're out there without our covering when they don't have their hands laid on and set in place. God is setting us in place. He said, it's very wise counsel for you to counsel your people that. And so for the first time in all the years I've been at Delta Christian Center, we set in an evangelist. That's progress. That just blessed my heart that we did that. Of course, we've set in deacons and we've set in elders, but we've never set in an evangelist. And we have a lot of evangelists in our church, but we've never set them in because we all lump them in with one thing, and they're not. God said, these are the five ministries I'm giving to the church. Yes, one person can move in several of those ministries,
But there's also one that is outreigning and stronger than the rest of them that you're in. And he was like, and if you can get online and get this book, it is an amazing book that he wrote on the apostolic. So anyway, I'm going to walk away from him, and he says, wait, I need to tell you something that God said to say to you. I said, okay. He said, you are a most beautiful, astonishing woman. And I was like, okay. What do you say to that? You know, somebody's telling you that. He said, both inside and outside, because the spirit that dwells inside of you lives on the outside of you, and it is radiant. And God told me to tell you, this is what we see. As a matter of fact, we want you to come sit up front with us. And then somebody else came to me and said, because we want you to open up the last meeting. And I'm like, what do I have to do? I'll open it. Whatever you want. You can sing a song. You can take a prayer, whatever. But we know that's on you. And so I'm like, okay. So then he walks away. And I'm starting to think about all this stuff. And then God says, my people are in transition. We are in transition. Just listen to Patty's word this morning. First word I heard, we're in transition. She's right in that canal where she's getting ready to come out a new person. She's right there. She's being birthed into something different and something new. And the wise counsel, what she spoke in her own self is, this is my husband time. She didn't just think that thought to herself. God put that thought in you. Because Patty was screaming. I won't be here. I don't want to do this. Nah, I love my husband. And God said, honor him. And she did. Wise counsel. She honored him. He said, bring this word today down to the feet of the people. Not just what happened in the past, but what's happening now. And I told her, I said, I appreciate your word. Lay the foundation for me. Because he gave me something new to share about this word. Not just where I went at before. And then Debbie prays for me over there. And I'm sitting up there, and I got this morning about 5 o'clock, and I couldn't stop writing, just writing. And she walks over to me. She says, Evelyn, she said, you're like fine gold. And what the Lord had given me this morning, he says, gold tried in the fire is fine gold, and it's a pretty sight, except when you are the one being placed in the fire. See, we look at that gold and it's flowing and it's beautiful and whoa, there's money. But we don't think about God's got to melt every one of us down because we are fine gold being refined in the fire of God. And he's melting us down so that when we give counsel to someone else, there is no flaws in our counsel. There is nothing in our counsel that can take away from who God is. And if he doesn't place us in the fire to do that, and if he doesn't melt down everything, because when they melt it down, they're getting out all the impurities, right, in the gold. So that when you get that chunk in your hand after they do all their thing, they can tell you this is 90% authentic, this is 80%, this is 100%. So let's put it to God. This is 30%. This is 60%. This is 100%. What percentage do you want to be? Because God's going to melt you down if you wanted more. All that thing we did last night with Nancy, she said, what do you want? What do you want? Do you want more of God? That statement we all made last night, guess what? It's going to cost you. God's going to start putting the fire to you, and it's going to melt you down. It's going to melt you down, making pure gold out of each one of us. If you don't come away from nothing else with this thing, know that when you came up here and made that proclamation, because you made it, we made it, all of us made it. We're so obedient. Do you want to come up front? Yeah. Now think about what it's going to cost us. And then when everybody's gone home and you're in your house by yourself and God turned up the heat And you're going, I don't know what's wrong with me. Maybe something that conference jumped off on me. Whatever, blah, blah, blah. You know? No. It's the vow you made standing up here in front of God, witnessing that vow that you were making. It said wise counsel. She asked you, wise counsel. She said, do you want it? Do you want it? You had a choice. You could have said no. But if you said yes, guess what's getting ready to happen? In short time, God said. In short time, God is getting ready to refine us like never before. He loves it when we reach. He doesn't want us to stay here stale and sitting on all this wisdom that he's put in us. It's time for us to give it out. That's what he wants to do. He wants us to give it out. So we are in transition. Patty, you're in transition. And it's a good thing, because in all that transition that you're in, God is purifying not just your heart, but even your husband and your children and your children's children. Because this thing goes down like dominoes. Boop, 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 boop. We're not just securing a place for ourselves. We're securing a place for all that we love. All that we love, we're securing a place for them. By just stepping out into the will of God and letting him melt us down to where we're supposed to be. When I was sitting up there, God was talking to me about God's anointing. That's always, always, always around us. Do you know that? Just because we can't feel it, taste it, or touch it, doesn't mean he took it back. He's not a person that takes back giftings. And if he says, my anointing is going to be with you always, guess who moved? Because he didn't. We moved. God didn't move. God is forever right there, waiting for us to ask him for different things so he can give us counsel to it. We got charged with a charge that says, was it an hour a day? Take 1 hour a day. 1 hour, just 1 hour, and speak in tongues and just pray for God. Just pray to God. Don't say, God, will you fix this? God, my leg is hurt. God, no. Just pray honoring God, because God is ready to speak. And I'm telling you, I know that was wise counsel, because I sat on my bed and I started doing it. And the first day I did it, I was sitting up there. I didn't even know that claustrophobic had gripped me so much. And I would go to sleep, and if I start dreaming of anything where I was blocked in, I would literally start going, breathing weird. And that day I prayed, I got up on the side of my bed, and I said, I'm tired of you plaguing me. Face me face to face. Stop meeting me in my dreams. And I came face to face with that spirit. And when I came face to face with him, I said, God, where did I let him in? He said, are you ready? I said, I'm ready. He said, way back when you were very young, you were sitting on your dining room table, you had your eyes closed and you were asleep, and your older siblings, this was before my younger siblings were all born, my older siblings turned off all the lights in the house. You know how kids are. We all do crazy stuff for each other. And all you could see, my sister has really big eyes, my older sister. And she covered up her whole face. All you could see is her eyes. And I'm dead asleep. And all of a sudden I hear, Evelyn. And I went to get up, and my brother was holding me down, so I couldn't get out the chair. And I was like, and I'm looking around. I was a kid. I was like 8 or 9 years old, something like that. And so then when they saw I was really scared, they got scared because they thought they was going to get in trouble. They let me go. And I beelined upstairs to my mama. And I passed her room, and I went in the room, and I got in the room, and my heart was beating so fast, my mother thought I was going to have a heart attack or something. She was very upset with them. And he said, that's when fear came in you. That's when the fear came in. Now renounce it and give it to me. And he brought 5 different things to me that I had eaten off of and had gotten greater and greater and greater. And I did not know it was there. But the timing and the wise counsel of God was, pray an hour, Evelyn, and I'm gonna set you free. 1 hour a day, someone, God, will start showing you what's inside of you, what you need to let go, and what you need to hold tighter. And I tell you what, it feels like a clean something inside of me, like somebody poured fresh water down in my spirit. That thing is not there anymore. And I've tested it to see. Did stuff that used to kind of freak me out, you know? And I'm like, it's not there. It is not there. So I charge you, take an hour a day. When is the last time you took an hour and didn't petition God? Most of the time we take an hour, but we're saying, God, my babies and my house and I need some money and blah, blah, this and blah, blah, this. When is the last time you just said, Father, all I want is you. All I want is your wisdom. All I want is your anointing. All I want to do is praise you. And then when you run out of words, just speak in tongues. Just speak in tongues for an hour. This is who we're supposed to be. Can we do it? And if you don't speak in tongues, just talk for an hour on how beautiful God is. Grab your Bible, read a scripture for an hour on how beautiful God is. And I guarantee you, you'll start seeing your life change in ways that you've never seen before. Because God is talking. We say that, but I'm telling you, God is talking. The reason why Michelle could write that book, because God is talking. 20 years ago, she probably couldn't write that book. But she can write that book now. Why? Because God is talking and her spiritual ears are opening. And she's listening to wise counsel that says, you're going to do this. And when they say you're going to do it, she grabbed hold of it. And she said, I'm going to do this. That's why we need wise counsel. Because we need somebody to launch us into our next place. And that's what God is doing. He's launching us into our next place. My husband and my son, and my family, we're all going through a hard time right now. But it's a hard time in the natural, but a great time in the spirit. And I can't even explain that. You know, it's like I'm a bucket of tears 1 minute, and the next minute, I know my God got me. I know it. And I know that nothing in this world can steal what he has said is mine. Can't steal my promises, can't steal my life, can't steal anything that I have. Because if he said it, and I believe it, and doubt not in my heart, it's mine. And nobody can take it from me. And it's the same with you. If God has given you a promise, and you pulled it down, and you believe it with all your heart, hold on to it. His timing is not our timing. But I guarantee you, it will come. It will come. And come like you probably would never think it would come. So don't get in your mind a box. God, you got to come in this box. You got to be red and blue and green. You got to speak thou, thou, and those. You got to do, because it may come country western. And there you are, because it's country western, going, I don't think so. That could not be God. Because God is not in that country western. Bet me. So you don't know how it's going to come. Start saying, Holy Spirit, make me open. Make me open. Do you know what he said? He said, I left you the Holy Spirit to lead you into all truth. Wise counsel. How many of us use him? He's sitting there every day waiting for you to say, Holy Spirit, I need you for my strength. No, we'd rather just walk around like this. Oh, I'm so tired, God. Can you touch me? And Holy Spirit said, here I am. Ask me. And I will equip you. How do I know that? Because I've been asking him. And that's what he's been doing. I lose something in the house and I'm like, man, I really need to find that. My niece here, it just blew her mind. She lost something in the house. And she was wild in the house and she said, she started asking God to help her find it. And it was really funny because she said, I looked in that pocket and it was not there. But when I went and looked back in that, she said, she heard a voice say, do you really need that? Do you really want that? Is that something you really want? She's like, yeah, I really want that. And he said, well, go look in your coat pocket. And she didn't question him. She went and looked in her coat pocket that she knows she had already looked in. And there it was. And she was so beside herself, she said, I looked in that coat pocket, Auntie. It was not in there. I don't know where it came from. But it's because God is speaking. She asked the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, what did God say he left him here for? To lead us into all truth. To lead us into all truth. But we don't even call on him to do that. We went for a walk in the woods the other day, me and Debbie. And I have you to know, we walked that whole totem park. We walked all the way around those ramps. I don't think I've did that since my legs been hurt. Not that kind of walking. Then we went into the woods and walked up there where the waterfall is. I said, hey, you all right back there? Yeah, I'm coming, Evelyn. I'm coming. We both walking. Okay, we may have been sore the next day, but you know what? The ideal that we made it. We were both giving each other high fives. We were both feeling good. Yeah, we may have to rest, okay. But we made it. And you know why I did that? Because my sister was coming. And she's an adventurer. And I said to myself, I want to show her my Ketchikan. I don't want her just to see the inside of the church. I want her to see my Ketchikan. What made me fall in love with it. And so I was bound and determined that I was going to make that trail. I say, God, is this me being stupid? Is this me being unwise? He said, no, trust me. And I did it. And I walked it. And then I get to the prayer meeting. All you weren't at the prayer meeting. Wise counsel. He said to me, they said they was having prayer meeting that night. Well, we had just did that walking. And they made the mistake of telling me that it wasn't mandatory. So I decided, I'm not going. I'll just pray from my bed. God's prayers can reach into Ketchikan, into that prayer room. And I'm laying there on the bed, and all of a sudden, my whole body just got hot. And I sat there, and I had a vision. And he said, you have to go to the meeting because you have to deliver this fire to those ladies and men in Ketchikan that's been praying because I am birthing a new fire in the warriors of Ketchikan. And you have to go and deliver that word. And so I felt the heat on my hip, you know, and I was like, ooh, but I don't have to now because you just touched my hip. I feel that heat. I'm okay. He's like, not. You think God doesn't talk like that? He really does. Okay? Well, that wasn't all he said to me. He told me when I got there, showed me three faces. I saw the whole people, but he showed me three specific faces. He said, you go up to them and you have them put hands on you. And the fire that I'm giving to them, I will put into your hips. I will start the healing process of your hips. And I didn't do it. I didn't do it. Last night I was up front leading worship. And all of a sudden I heard him whisper in my ear. He said, Evelyn, do you want healing or not? Because this is what I have prepared for you to get it. Do you want it or not? I said, yes, I want it. By this time, I'm shame. Because I didn't follow through. I just said half of it. Now, what is the chances those three people were lingering around here? Everybody was going home. They was lingering around. And I went up to them, and I started talking to them. And I just burst into tears, and I said, God, I asked them to forgive me. Because I said, I didn't finish telling what I was supposed to. God gave me wise counsel in part of my healing, and I ain't do it. And so I went to them, and I started talking. And Danielle's husband looked at me, and he said, well, I said, you don't have to do it now. You could do it anytime. You know, I'm still giving them out. You could do it anytime, just as long as you do it before I leave the conference, okay? He said, you ain't going nowhere, because I ain't never felt my hand this hot. And Danielle, too, and she got on the side of me, and he stood in front of me, and I can't think of her name, long black hair. Linda got on the other side of me, and they just started praying and storming the heavens, and everything in me just broke. And all of a sudden, the Lord said to me, what is faith? I heard him like a loud voice, what is faith? I said, what do you mean? He said, you can't see it, you can't taste it, and you may not even can touch it, but if you believe in it, it will happen. You got to believe in it, Evelyn, and it will happen. It doesn't matter how many times there's been prayer. What matters is your obedience to step out, regardless of what it had to come through. That's what he's saying to us today. It's so vital. He's getting us ready for war, guys. And we can't get ready if we're all crippled up. Naturally, spirit, or emotionally. We can't. And so he said, I'm giving you new counsel to bring you into that place I want you to be so you can walk circumspectly before me. So you can walk in the midst of your enemies. And you can say, stand back, O earth, because I'm coming forth. This earth, you stand back. Evelyn's coming forth. You're not going to hold me back. Of course, they haven't held me back since I had the surgery. I think I've been walking on this leg ever since I got out of it. But this time I was weary. And I'm going to be honest, I could not wait to see my sisters. I can't explain it, but we have this energy. And when we get around each other, we can feel like this big. And we get around each other, and it's just like the love just gets dumped on you. And you just started getting, your heart just started beating. And if you never cried, all of a sudden you burst into tears. And you, a lot of times, don't even have to say anything. They just put their arms around you and say, we got you. Got you, Evelyn. You cord low, time for you to get filled back up. You know any people like that? You need to learn them. They're called God's peoples. And when you branch out, God will start putting them in your life. Wouldn't trade them for nothing. None of these women that I go with, I wouldn't trade them. Because even when they're not there, they're there. Because they have established a border around my heart. Do they always pat me on the back if I'm doing something wrong? Debbie, we went up to Israel. Was it Israel we was at? And she comes up to me and she says, and I'm feeling like, me and Tom Smalley, right? Is that how you say his name? And both of us, you know, we couldn't walk very far, you know, and stuff. And we was walking, and they was pushing on all sides. And Nancy made it convenient for us to eat, and then we could go back to the hotel. And I was sitting there, I hadn't told nobody, but I was sitting there thinking to myself, no, I want to go back with everybody else. I don't want to have to go to the motel. And I'm, like, throwing fits, and I'm going to miss something. I don't want to miss nothing. Something always happened, and I'm going to miss it. I just know, even if it was something bad, I didn't want to miss it. Okay? And Debbie Grimes came up to me and tapped me on the shoulder. I didn't know it was her at first. Somebody tapped me on the shoulder. Before I could turn around, they started to whisper in my ear. And she said, God said to tell you, everything he wants you to see, you will not miss. You will not miss. Do you hear me, Evelyn?
you will not miss. So settle your heart. Everything that he has for you to see, you will not miss. I turned around, it was Debbie. And I was like, oh my goodness. And she gave me this big old hug. She said, so you go home and you rest. And when they got home, they said, you better be glad you didn't come. They about squashed us to death. They was pushing us down and knocking us all up against the wall. It was not a pretty picture. Wise counsel, when she said that, it calmed everything in me that was like saying, oh, if it went for this leg and it went for this and it went for that, I would, no, it just like, whew. You know why? Because it came from an unlikely person that would have came up to me and said that. But because of her obedience to counsel me, I didn't tell anybody what I was thinking, not even Lewis. But God allowed her to hear my heart. And she came and she talked to me. I'm telling you, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. And it is the glory of kings to seek it out. I'm telling you, we should remember that and grab hold to it. Because God is opening up giftings like never before inside of us. And we have to listen to the counsel of whoever he sends our way. Whoever he sends our way. Don't let people put you in the box. God is not blind. He made you with an eyesight. He made you just the way you are because he don't want you to be somebody else. You may say, oh, I wish I could dance like this person or sing like this person or preach like that person. But then we wouldn't have what you got to offer. And we need what you have. Because us without you cannot be made perfect. That's scriptural. We need what everybody has in this room. Don't ever think whatever gift you have is small. Every gift you have is giant because it's another piece of the puzzle. And if without your gifting, we wouldn't be able to survive. So don't think your gifting is small. I don't care if your gifting is just hospitality. Hospitality is big. It's big. Do you know how many souls are won to God because of somebody's hospitality? Come on. No gift is too small in God's kingdom. Only God can change people. And when he's ready for you to change, he will change you. You're not here because you're holy. But it's because you believe in God that he wants to make you new. You came here for something. Don't leave here without it. Whatever nugget you came here for, don't leave here without it. You know what? It may be between workshops. It may be while you're sitting down at the table eating lunch. It may be during the worship. It may be during Nancy's word at night. It may be in a smile. Don't leave here without it. Destine yourself. God, I came here for something, and be just like Jacob. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. He loves that, believe it or not. He loves that. Psalms 119:66 was where my text came from. But the word I want to look up is to teach. It says to teach. It says, first, you have to teach, you have to be taught. And so if you don't let God teach you, how are you going to teach? Can't teach if you're not taught. If you haven't been through the trials and testings, you'll never get to the mountaintop. Because you won't know that you have hind feet to scale it. But you can get up there. Every word y'all spoke to me since I've been here, every word you spoke to me since I've been here, I've taken it to heart. Don't think your words just fell on stormy grounds. It did not. I heard you. You say, you're going to be whole. I grabbed hold on it. Every word that is spoken around us,
Every word. God is talking. But you got to be taught in order to teach. Good means to be pleasant, to be delighted, to be good, to be glad, to be joyful, to be better, to be wise. Judgment, to taste, to discern, to decree with intelligence. With intelligence. Knowledge, which means the ability to see, hear, or become aware of something, of some thoughts or senses, to be skillful, to be discernment, to have discernment, to understand, to move in wisdom. God wants us not to just be hearers of the words anymore. He wants us to be doers, which we have in our gut to be doers. We're just scared to step out sometime. Well, God has given you permission in this conference. It's time to step out in Him. It only takes what? A spark to get a fire going. Just a spark. Then soon everything around it is consumed by it. Only takes a spark. Abraham was seeking wise counsel about Sodom and Gomorrah. While he was seeking wise counsel, three people appeared to him on the mountain. And then, as two of them was looking over the mountain, the third one said, "Should I tell Abraham what I'm about to do?" Now, to me, that had to be God. Why would an angel ask angels, "Should I tell Abraham what I'm about to do?" Wise counsel. He heard the words. He heard the words of God. When we hear that scripture, from now on, when you hear this scripture, when it says, "Ask and it shall be given," don't stop asking. Don't stop asking. "Seek and ye shall find." Don't stop seeking until you find that you're looking for. "Knock and the door shall be open unto you." Don't stop knocking. Because if you want the doors open, you got to go and inquire about the doors. Don't wait for Moses to come again in the flesh before you try to cry out to God. Every last one of us has a Moses in us. And God is saying, it's time for you to come to me one to one. And let me give you what I have for you. Because it's there for us. "Be not weary in well doing, for you shall reap if you faint not." That means if you are consistent in asking God, doesn't matter what it looks like, but you keep asking, you keep going back to Him, God Himself will make sure that you have what you have, what you need. I have five things of what you are. These are what you are. Number one, God is a spirit, and that spirit lives in you. So you have a God spirit. John 4:24. God is one. You and God are one. Galatians 3:20. God is a consuming fire in the depths of you, consuming everything that is not supposed to be there. Everything that is not godly within you. God is a consuming fire. But He's not going to burn if you don't let Him. That's Hebrews 12:29. God is light. Let your light shine. Because it lives within you. 1 John 1-5. And God is love. And the love of God casts out all fear. That's Galatians 5:22. Don't let anybody steal your God from you, because God is a consuming fire, and he does love us with an everlasting love. And I tell you what, I know it's just going to get richer. I know it. Every last one of these workshops is just going to get richer. You know, I've heard Patty speak before, but I've never heard her heart like I heard this time. I've heard her speak before, and it was powerful. But this time, it was like she was just stripped. And it was like she was trusting us to cover her. And she opened up, and she let us in. Now, what are you going to do with it? You're going to remember Patty's face when she's traveling around, when you're traveling around and she's not at conference, because I don't know about you, but when I don't see them two at conference, I miss them. You know, it's just like that part of the woodwork, and that woodwork, that part ain't here. But it was amazing. I just wanted to let you know, it was amazing. It was food to my spirit. I don't know what God is doing with me. All I know is I'm different. When I came back from the Dead Sea and all that stuff Nancy took us to, and we was on that mountain up there, and she prayed for us, mountain of configuration, and all that different things we went through, and every place we went, I'm telling you, just to be able to walk in the footsteps of who Jesus was and still feel the anointing. It blew me away. It was like he was still right there. Why was that? Because we went expecting. And if you go in prayer expecting, you will get nothing but the glory of God. When we stop expecting, we'll stop getting. Don't stop expecting, because none of us have it all yet. We're still in this big school of training, and God is still training of us. And we do get weary. All of us get weary. And you think we get really? Imagine going to how many cities she'd have been to, places? 35 places. I was sitting there listening to her last night, and I'm like, and do you realize that when we go to her, she outruns us? Yeah. I mean, we was on this boat, and she was supposed to have been half sick. And she was like way down there. We had to run to catch up with her. I was like, to have that kind of anointing that's keeping you means you have to have a sold out life to the Father. A sold out life to the Father. And every last one of us have that in us. It's just she don't stop seeking or knocking or anything else. So we can't stop it either. I wish I could take my insides and let you see it, how exciting I am. We're going through so many changes in our home. For the first time in my life, God is totally, all my boys are married, and they all have their own children, and they all have their own house, and they all moved back to Alaska so I could see my grandkids. So I have all my eight grandchildren there, and I have my sons there, and I was a happy camper. And we all used to go to the same church, and all of a sudden, God's cutting strings. And it's killing me inside. And God says, too much is given. Much is expected, Evelyn. You got to let him find his way. You got to let him know that they can make it without mom and dad. You got to let him. So you have to separate your pastor from your mom. It's a very hard thing. It's very hard. But I had to make a choice. Do I want my sons to live the life that I know they deserve? Or do I want to be like a mother hen and keep them underneath my wing? Then what was the use of putting all that stuff in them if I'm not going to see it manifest? I got to see it manifest. And so I was given wise counsel by one of our apostles. He said, let me tell you something. I'm very proud of you.
I saw you break, and I saw you stand. The God part of you knew you had to stand while the mother part of you was breaking. He said, well, I'm going to tell you something about your son. He has such a great call on his life that God is not going to let anybody set him in until he's ready. Do you really think people have the power to keep your sons from being anything I called them to be? They don't have that kind of power. Only I do. So when it doesn't happen, instead of blaming a human, you're giving them power over God. Just know, everything that you've laid your life down for is going to come to fruition. But it still don't make it any easier. But I'm rejoicing. I am ready for her. I'm rejoicing. I'm excited for what I'm going to see. I don't like to see my boys cry. And I don't like to see them break. But I know it's a good thing. I know it's a good thing. And so, out of all that, is going to come joy unspeakable and full of glory. They all came to me and said, Mom, we need to tell you, you're the heart of the family. Mom, the heart can't cry because the rest of the body gets weak. So the heart's got to stand strong. So Mom, know this. We will never leave God. We may leave a place, but we will never leave God. Because if we left God, we'd have to leave you. And we'll never leave you. Still don't make it no easier. But I'm telling you, this word, gaining wise counsel, my sons are very, very wise. Very wise. And they are ambassadors of the Father. But God told me a long time ago, don't look at what people say, see, don't listen to what your eyes see, don't listen to what your ears hear. If you put them in my hands, I will perfect them. If you put them in my hands. All you parents out there that have children and loved ones, God said, everything you put in my hands, I have not lost. That's wise counsel. Put them in God's hands. Your husbands, your children, your grandchildren, your wayward children, whatever. Put them in God's hands. And I guarantee you, God will not lose them. Our kids are not going to come in the way we came in. We might as well face that. They're not going to minister the way we was taught to minister. We might as well face that. God's not going to speak to them in the way he spoke to us to get us in here. We might as well face that. But God will bring them to a higher place than they've ever been. And I believe that. And I'll never let it go. So I tell you, we're living in an amazing time right now. Because the kingdom of God is coming together. The kingdom of God is coming together. That she says, we need to remember, we are in a war. We forget we're in a war. But in this time, we are not letting them make casualties. We're going to stand victorious. Because as we stand shoulder to shoulder, an army that stands shoulder to shoulder cannot be defeated. Cannot be defeated. So let's get wise counsel. Let's listen to the counsel of God that he's given to us every day. Every day, folks. If you wake up every day and said, Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to do today? What are we going to do today? I want you with me today. Show me what direction I'm going to take today. Give me the strength I need to do whatever you need me to do. I was listening to Kim talk while I'm waiting for Nancy. I was listening to Kim talk about all these people that she led to the Lord,
And the thing that the Lord dropped in my heart, he said, you're so used to seeing it that you don't recognize a miracle when it happens. You're asking me for a miracle? That's a miracle for somebody to come to God in 1 minute. Come on. You think God set her in that place because he didn't? No. He set her in a place so that she can move, not just, oh, I brought this person to the Lord. Oh, my God, I just saw a miracle. I just saw a sign and wonder. That's what God's doing.